Welcome back to Good Food. Reconnection can be a process. After leaving Nigeria as a teenager, Yawande Komolafe returned to her vibrant home of Lagos 20 years later with fresh eyes. Evoking memories through cooking, she was quickly reminded that sourcing ingredients meant enlisting mentors and a web of social relations. And using these ingredients came with the sacred knowledge passed down through oral histories. She takes us through her everyday Lagos. Hi.
Hi, this is Yawande. How are you?
I'm so grateful that you're here with us. The book is really beautiful. It's just so visually lively, and your stories are just lovely.
Well, thank you so much. I wanted to inject the energy of Lagos into the book, and so that makes sense that you're saying that. Thank you for saying that.
So give us an overview a bit of your background. Your parents are in Lagos. When did you come to the U.S.?
So I moved to the U.S. When I was 16. I moved here to go to college, and I have essentially been here ever since. I built a life here. I finished college, went to culinary art school, worked in restaurants, and now I work as a columnist and a food writer at the New York Times.
Would you be willing to share the emotional and political challenges that you faced during your first few years living here?
Wow, I'm only just connecting the dots. I think that I moved here so young, and it's really just taken a while for that to sink in. Now I have kids of my own, and I just can't imagine sending them off across the world at 16. Emotionally, I think I shut down. I think I did not allow myself to feel. I just decided that I was here to do a thing, and I put my head down and I did it. And it's not until recently, I would say about 5 years ago, that I started kind of processing all the things that had happened. I lived undocumented for 10 years. Working in food, I just didn't see voices like mine being represented. I didn't see stories like mine represented. I didn't know anybody else that was undocumented while I worked in food. And when I tell my story and when I share my story, I'm hoping that it touches someone else who might be going through similar things, and it validates them, because that's what it did for me to like say it out loud. I'm undocumented. I'm an immigrant. To say things like that out loud just validated it for me and helped me know that it wasn't just in my head. It's something that I'm actually going through.
You started doing a dinner series from your home in Brooklyn. How did you interlace themes of home and adaptation into that series? And what was the role of memory?
I started doing the dinner series because I wanted to feel a connection to Nigeria. Food is the way I explain, I examine, I move through the world. It helps me understand the world. And so I turned to food, and I turned to specifically Nigerian food because I had worked in all these like fancy restaurants and like French restaurants and Korean restaurants and all these other cuisines. And I never had really examined my own food. It was always something that I carried with me, and it was always something that I had. But I never really thought of it as something that I should examine. And so at that point in my life, I was at the point where I was trying to connect desperately with Nigeria because I hadn't been back in so long. I had been asking myself questions like, am I still Nigerian if I haven't been there in so long? And so the theme of what it means to move and uproot yourself and make a home in a new space, what it means to share your cuisine with others, what it means to be Nigerian, all of those were things that I was actively exploring in my own personal life. And so it made its way into the dinner series. And I would throw that questions out at the guest, and we'll have a lively conversation and have different narratives. And it brought a lot of nuance into the conversation for me.
So you hadn't gone back to Lagos in a really long time. Can you talk a bit, like paint a picture of it for us and talk about how it had changed when you went back after 17 years?
So the first, again, that was another experience. that I couldn't process while I was going through it. I hopped on a plane, went to Lagos with my husband, met my parents there, and we had a 2-week period where we were just going to all these places where I'd been going to when I was little. But what I remember the most was how lively Lagos is. I think I forgot about that aspect of Lagos, where it's so lively. There's loud music, there's traffic, there's people, colors, food. And I had forgotten that aspect of Lagos, that it was so rich in culture and people, and just it felt like my senses were on fire and I couldn't shut it down until I had to actively remove myself from the space. And that was like my favorite memory of being back in Lagos for the first time.
So let's talk about food. What are some of the core components and essential flavors of Nigerian cuisine?
We love strong flavors. We love rich flavors. So I would say red palm oil, which gives a floral, bright orange hue to our dishes. I would say crayfish, which is dried shrimp, a type of dried shrimp, which gives like a nice umami flavor. I would say fermented locust bean, which is also an umami flavor. And I'd say spice, depending on what region you're from, spices can differ from nice and woodsy or grassy or spice as in heat. I would say that all of those are core flavors of Nigerian cooking.
Ekuru appears to be a good entry point to Nigerian cooking. Can you describe the dish and how it's served?
Yeah, ekuru is a white steamed bean dish. So the honey beans are soaked and peeled, the skin's peeled off. Then the beans are ground into a paste, and that paste is combined with some onions and some crayfish and wrapped in water lily leaves and steamed. It's firmer than a custard, but not as firm as a cake, if that makes sense. But it's a nice light entryway into the cuisine. It's one of the foods that we serve in the morning. We don't really have breakfast foods. We have just foods that we serve in the morning that are light on your digestion. So it's one of those foods. It's like really light on your digestion. It's served with ogi, which is a fermented corn pudding, another pudding. And that's my favorite way to eat it, is have ekuru and have a bowl of ogi and kind of do a dip in the ogi.
Can you mentioned about the idea of breakfast foods. Could you elaborate on the Buka culture and the absence of our traditional ideas of breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Yeah, of course. So Buka is basically a place street side that serves a wide range of dishes for lunch. They would usually serve dishes like rice and stew for like a weekday lunch. So it's a place where you go have lunch and then go back to the office. There are places that are just like little shacks by the roadside, or there are places that have like dining spaces. But it's typically a notable thing about because it's typically roadside and they serve lunch cuisine. Like rice and stew, you would see amala with bigiri, and ewedu, you could sometimes see pounded yam, but I feel like that's more like a celebration weekend meal. You would see like ewa going, which is a bean dish that's like cooked for hours until the beans melt into a sort of like a soup with onions, and it's topped with like a fiery chili paste. Fried plantains you would see at Buka's, but Buka culture is like lunch culture.
Gosh, sounds so delicious. So let's talk about some of your family's cooking. What is your father's specialty in the kitchen?
Oh, gosh. My dad used to make several versions of a fisherman's soup or stew, where he would make the, and he calls his alapa, which is not the traditional name for it, I found in the while I was doing the research for the book. But it's a really nice brothy soup where he makes these dumplings. and from yam and puts it into the soup to thicken the soup. But you also have these like little yam dumplings. He loved seafood. And on his way back from, he used to work on Lagos Island, but on his way back from the island on Fridays, he would buy some fresh fish. And then Saturday or like Friday, Friday nights, he would make this brothy soup. And so fisherman stew and alapa are both two things that my dad was a great cook on.
I love that. And then Sunday was chicken day at your family's house, and
yes.
your mother had her own dish.
Yeah, clay pot chicken. Sunday with so I grew up on a farm in the city because my dad was he loved being surrounded by green and just farm animals and things. And so in the middle, like imagine like in the Brooklyn of New York City, we had like a working farm with like pigs and chickens and goats.
Amazing.
I know. And I didn't realize how different that was until I moved here. So we had live animals, but Sunday was like the day that we would get a chicken from the garden and have it for dinner. But yeah, Sunday was like chicken day, and my mom would bring out her clay pot and put the chicken in it with all these spices and make some rice, some coconut rice. And she had this special seasoning that she would put on the chicken. And the first time I went back, she made that. It was like a whole Sunday ritual, but she made that. And it made me think of how sweet that was for her to do that.
I understand that your mother was a food scientist and she worked for mm-hmm. Cadbury.
Yes, she did.
So you grew up with chocolate in the house?
I did. I grew up with chocolate and like 5-pound bags of candy, of like assorted candies. And she would get all these things in the mail. And I just thought that that's how kids grew up. But it's obviously not. But yeah, my mom was a food scientist, and like a lot of my early introduction to food was definitely through her.
Do you have a favorite Cadbury bar?
I like Curly Whirly.
I love Curly Whirly.
Yeah, I like Curly Whirly. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad that American kids don't know what Curly Whirly is.
I know.
So good. So if people have never made Nigerian food before, and mm-hmm. and for this question, we are going to remove jollof from the answer.
Mm, yes, please.
What would be the first dish that you would have people make from everyday Lagos?
I would have them make the ata dindin, because that's a relish. That's a pepper relish that I use as a base in a lot of dishes. And so make a big batch of ata dindin. It's bell peppers, red bell peppers, onions, some garlic, ginger, and some oil and salt. And I use that relish in everything. It's the base for if you were making jollof rice, it's the base for that. If you're making my braised goat and stew, it's the base for that. And so it's the base for everything, for a lot of dishes in my everyday Lagos, but it's also just good on its own. It's like a pepper relish that you can put on top of eggs, you can put on top of just steamed rice, you can eat with spaghetti if the spirit calls you to. You could really do anything with it. So it's something that you could like add to dishes that you already have on hand, or it's a base for more dishes in my everyday Lagos. And it's called ata dindin.
Thank you so much, Iwande. I would really love talking to you.
Oh, this was so lovely. Thank you for having me.
That was Berlin-born, Lagos-raised, Brooklyn-based Iwande Komolafe. She is a food writer, recipe developer, and food stylist, and her new book is My Everyday Lagos. Find a recipe for her ata dindin on our website, as well as a crushed yam fritter recipe to go with it. It's all at kcrw.com/goodfood. Our cookbook show continues in a minute with one of my favorite food writers. She shares kitchen wisdom from a lifetime of cooking. That's next.